Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Get Connected with Nina Del Rio, a weekly conversation about fitness, health, and happenings in our community on 106.7 Light FM.
Good morning, and thanks for listening to Get Connected. Even though visual thinkers are everywhere, our friends, our family, our colleagues, we live in a language-dominated world, a world that tends to screen out visual thinkers at school and pass people over at work. Our guest is autism activist, scientist, and New York Times bestselling author, Dr. Temple Grandin, with her new book, Visual Thinking, The Hidden Gifts of People Who Think in Pictures, Patterns, and Abstractions. Dr. Grandin, thank you for being on the show.
Great to be here.
I am so pleased to speak with you, by the way, personally, like so many other people. I read Animals in Translation and I read Animals Make Us Human, and I still think of what I learned in those books every day. So I'm really pleased to speak with you today. Yes. What do you mean by visual thinkers? And by comparison, what are word-based thinkers?
Okay, the research shows there's three kinds of thinking. And in my book, Visual Thinking, I have a whole chapter on the research. And I am an object visualizer. My mind works in associative, like photorealistic pictures, which were shown beautifully in the HBO movie. And the other kind of visual thinking is visual, spatial, mathematical pattern thinkers. So one thinks like in photographs coming out of memory. Other things in patterns, think mathematics, music, computer programming. And then you have people that think completely in words, almost completely in words. And I didn't realize that verbal thinking existed until I learned about it in my late 30s. Now, a lot of people are mixtures of different kinds of thinking, but I'm an example of an extreme object visualizer. So that's going to make me good at animals because they do not live in a verbal world. Art, design, photography, and mechanics. It sounds strange, but mechanics, art, go together. And then your mathematicians, they're the ones with the university degrees in engineering. And that's the mathematical side of engineering, where the people that are my kind, a lot of them that I worked with on my equipment, they barely graduated from high school, didn't go to college, but they were designing and patenting complicated equipment and selling it all around the world. And the skills they learned them in shop class at school.
One of the things you talk about in the book is how we're taught differently in school based on whether we're visual thinkers or not. Can you talk about the difference for visual thinkers with subjects like math? As you talk about, you know, these people are skilled in math, but they're learned to kind of hate it in school.
Well, I can't do abstract math. Mm. I can learn to use a formula to calculate some specific thing, like the area of the circle or a load on a bridge or something. But math in the abstract, that's impossible. And I'm concerned that my kind of mind is actually getting screened out. And we have a gigantic shortage of people to fix things. I've been on some very dicey elevators recently that were skipping floors. That's not good. There's things we're no longer building, like a lot of food processing equipment, the state-of-the-art electronic chip making machine. And this goes back to taking the shop classes and the hands-on classes out of the schools. And if I could do one thing to the schools, I want to put art, sewing, woodworking, music, school play, welding, drafting, 3D printers, robotics. I want to have all that kind of stuff in the schools. So the kids that are different can gravitate towards the things they can be really good at that can become a career.
Why do you think it is that visual thinkers are inadvertently screened out at school and even at work?
Well, we're screened out because we can't do algebra. Mm. And I worked with people that had big machine shops selling patented equipment all over the world that couldn't do algebra. But they're all retiring now and they're not getting replaced. We don't have people to fix factories right now. Few shops that are left are price gouging and ripping off some of my clients right now. Mm. I can't go into the details, so I've got to keep some confidentiality. But the problem is they're not getting replaced because the kid that should be inventing equipment for industry is playing video games in the basement because they never used a tool. They're growing up never using a tool, never getting exposed to these things. I'm a big proponent of exposure to a lot of different things so you can see what you're good at. I got into the cattle industry because I was exposed to it as a teenager. Otherwise, I wouldn't have gotten into the cattle industry.
Temple Grandin is a professor of animal science at Colorado State University and author of the New York Times bestsellers, including Animals in Translation and Thinking in Pictures. She's been a pioneer in improving the welfare of farm animals, as well as an outspoken advocate for the autism community. Her website is templegrandin.com, and the new book is Visual Thinking. You're listening to Get Connected on 106.7 Light FM. I'm Nina Del Rio. Temple, you credit your mother with not thinking of herself as parenting an autistic child. When you were growing up in your family, as you say, autism was secondary to everything else you needed to learn, all the things you thought you were going to be good at. Can you talk about what you call the disabilities trap?
Well, I'm seeing too many parents getting trapped into the label. I'm seeing the kids with good academic skills, maybe a teenager, never gone shopping by themselves, not learning to drive, not learning how to do laundry, not learning bank account, not learning basic skills. They're getting everything done for them. And then I have grandfathers and grandmothers come up to me all the time. They find out they're autistic when the kids get diagnosed, but they had paper routes and childhood jobs. Work skills are not the same as academic skills. And some of the most fun stuff I've done in my life has been involved with stuff, inventing equipment and working on animal behavior.
You are fascinated by inventors. What suggests to you that inventors in general of basic mechanical items, whether it's, you know, the cotton gin or the ice cream machine or umbrellas, what suggests to you that those people are visual thinkers?
Well, those kinds of inventions like grain harvesting equipment, yeah, the cotton gin, that's the kind of stuff I call clever engineering department. When the patent office first started, it would have been my kind of mind. You know, then later on, much more mathematical stuff. The early stuff was all visual thinking kinds of inventions. And when I was in about fourth grade, my favorite book was about famous inventors. I was just fascinated by that.
I think it's obvious that having diversity of all kinds brings different ideas into the workplace. Yet people with physical or neurological differences are more likely to be unemployed. When neurodiverse people, and this might get into a little bit of your answer about they're not able to be independent perhaps when they're younger, but when neurodiverse people are applying for work, how can they best demonstrate what they can do, what they want to do?
What I did is I showed off my drawings. What I learned to do was to show off my work. Mm. And I talked to a lot of business leaders, and we need to be changing the interview process because some of these really good designers, they're not going to interview well. I'd show off the drawings and I'd show off pictures of jobs. I sold the work rather than myself. And showing that work to HR doesn't do any good. I got to show it to the plant manager. I've got to show it to the engineering department, the people that are going to really appreciate that work. And that's what I learned to do. And another thing I did is I wrote about my work and I saw doors to opportunity. There's a scene in the HBO movie where I get the editor's card for our State Farm magazine, walked up to him, got the card, and then I started writing about some of my stuff.
You do talk in the book too about sort of, as you're just saying, you know, you got to show it to the people who make those decisions at the,
that's right,
the inventor's level. There's also, you know, the suits. Anybody who works in business knows the suits are the people who can talk. They're mostly the people at the top. And the visual thinkers might be the designers, engineers,
That's right.
Who work under them. How do you, those two sides frustrate each other sometimes. How do you find a meeting of the mind, so to speak?
Well, everybody needs to realize that different people think differently. We need all the skills. Now, a lot of startup companies, when they get big, they're going to need a verbal thinker to organize the business and run the business. But you know, they used to say, well, stupid kids take shop. Let me tell you, I worked on these big Cargill plants, these great big, huge construction projects, and with really smart people in the visual thinking department. It's a different kind of intelligence than verbal thinking. That's the first thing they need to understand.
I think people understand that visual thinkers might tend to be creative. Artists tend to be creative, yeah, perhaps. You mentioned many in the book. Steven Spielberg's dyslexic.
That's right.
Can you talk about the evidence that neurodiversity may be linked to creativity? And what do you do with that information?
Well, we need these neurodiverse minds. We need these skills. We've got infrastructure falling apart. We need them for inventing equipment. Right now, we're building chip factories. Yeah, we're going to have empty buildings, or are we going to have the equipment to go inside those buildings? And I had a chance to go visit a chip factory, and then COVID got me kicked out of it. But they showed me the confidential video that showed everything inside. I'll tell you right now, there's plenty of equipment in there for me to work on. Lots of conveyors, lots of things moving around. You know, what people forget is that you have equipment that's a mechanical device controlled by a computer. Because I've heard verbal thinkers say, oh, it's all run by computers. And when I first was working with Betsy, she didn't understand that about a 3D printer is a mechanical device controlled by a computer. And then Betsy went and overdosed on 3D printer videos. And then she realized what I meant by a mechanical device controlled by a computer. I'm not going to do the programming. That's somebody else's job, but I'm the one to work on the mechanical part of it.
For those of us who, you know, want to be able to understand more about how visual thinkers think, just like we can learn to read and write, can we expand, do you think, our visual thinking skills?
To a certain extent. Mm. And a lot of people are mixtures. But I think the person, often the people that have a label, they're extreme. I'm an extreme object visualizer, really disabled in higher math. Mm. Or you'll have an extreme mathematician, maybe, and he'll be really good at the math side. Now we need to work together. The mathematician's going to do all the programming stuff. I'll work on the mechanical stuff. You need both kinds of minds. That's what this book is all about. And we need to be having the different kinds of minds work in collaboration, because the skills can be complementary. Because in a big food processing plant, my kind of mind makes all the clever mechanical equipment, but we need the university trained engineer for boilers, refrigeration, power, water, make sure the roof doesn't fall in, the soil compaction is done right. You see, you need both kinds of minds working together, and we're losing skills. I'm like, in my industry, poultry and pork, we're getting all the equipment from Europe now. And the reason for that is that they've kept their skilled trades. In ninth grade, a kid can go university track or tech track, and they don't stick their nose up at it in Europe.
Well, that was
another bit difference.
I did want to ask you, you know, we're losing, as you said earlier, you know, people end up, instead of doing something mechanical, they end up playing video games on their couch. Are there places in the world, though, where we're losing visual thinkers to, or places in the world where visual thinkers are more accepted and appreciated?
Oh, I appreciate it. Let me tell you, I've been all around the world, and you go to the developing parts of the world. Oh, the vehicles they can keep running, ancient motorbikes, ancient cars. That's all visual thinking. They can keep a jury rigging electrical stuff that anybody else would get electrocuted if they tried to do that. Don't recommend doing that. But I don't think people realize we were losing the skills. I didn't realize how bad the skill loss was until I did this trip to the two pork plants, the poultry plant, and the Steve Jobs Theater. Beef, we still know how to do, but they're getting gray and old. You see, this is the problem. The people are retiring out. I looked at the other day, I was at the airport, four people working on an escalator, three gray hairs, one young one. I can use the term gray hair. I'll use that term on myself. I would guess the guys were in the 50s, the older ones. They're not getting replaced. And I've been kind of watching that as I travel around now. Well, I see people working on elevators and escalators, highly specialized work.
Mechanical work.
Mechanical work. Let me tell you, they take an escalator apart. It's got the conveyors inside an escalator, look just like the stuff we've got in a meatpacking plant. Once you take the escalator apart, I was just looking at one yesterday at one of the airports.
Mm. Temple, just to finish, I was wondering, how do you feel about that term neurodiversity? It's kind of a broad term.
Well, it started out as an autism term, and then it spread to ADHD, dyslexia. It basically talks about minds that are different. But the thing I want to get across to business people is that we need these different minds. We're building all these chip factories. Let me tell you, there's tons of equipment in there. Well, you need us people who can't do algebra. Get those chip factories to work, or they'll just be empty buildings.
There's so much more in the book. Temple Grandin's book is Visual Thinking, The Hidden Gifts of People Who Think in Pictures, Patterns, and Abstractions. Thank you for joining me on Get Connected.
Thank you so much for having me. It was great to be here.
This has been Get Connected with Nina Del Rio on 106.7 Light FM. The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views of the station. If you missed any part of our show or want to share it, visit our website for downloads and podcasts at 1067lightfm.com. Thanks for listening.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.